Oh, here's the other thing on TikTok. So dogs, anything Cleveland Browns, and the snow in Texas in the South.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a group of girls walk to Walmart to get their groceries in the snow in Texas on TikTok.
I'm way too old. I don't know why I would do that. Like, I'm not going to show myself walking to Walmart to get groceries, or when I get divorced, sitting in my car playing sappy music so millions of people can stare at me. Maybe I'm just too old for TikTok. I don't know. I'm a weekend and it's ruining my sleep. Robin Washut joins us. Are you on TikTok?
I am not, but I have plenty of equal age friends that are, and I see what they use it for, and you know, I'm with you. I think it's before my age group here.
So, just asking for an outside observer of TikTok, are your friends single?
No, they're married and they're bored. They just stare at their phones a lot. That's why.
Oh, I was going to say, because there's a lot of people looking to like hook up on TikTok, I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Regardless of age.
Yeah, there are no limits there.
No, there's not. It also appears that people are willing to travel all over the country to go meet people they've never seen in person before. So those are my brief observations about TikTok. Thank you for playing along. How was your day yesterday? What were your thoughts as Nebraska went through the wave of news from getting a wide receiver that I think is a really good pickup for Nebraska that kind of gets glossed over because the biggest story was Wandale Robinson. And you end the day with Matt Farniok doing what a lot of us thought he would do, and that is decide for the NFL. How sum it all up. How was yesterday for Nebraska?
I guess I wasn't, like, stunned by any of the developments. I'm with you. I think the Toure kid is a legit NFL wide receiver. In fact, I've heard that if he would have entered the draft this year, he probably would have been a day three pick. And so he wanted to try and elevate himself up to, you know, maybe even a day two type prospect with, you know, one more season. So, I mean, I think that gives Nebraska something they haven't had since Stanley Morgan, and that's a big-bodied, you know, legitimate NFL wide receiver. So, you know, huge addition there that I agree is not getting talked about enough, and that's because of the Wandale stuff. And, you know, I know there's a lot of rumblings for several days about that situation. You know, a lot of predictions about, you know, him jumping ship and probably going to Kentucky. So when that finally broke, it was more just like confirmation of what was already expected. But regardless, it's a major blow for Nebraska, both on the field and off. You know, obviously he was a central part of an offense that, you know, was already limited for firepower, and he's one of the few guys that, you know, they can give the ball to and just have go make a play.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think his production is irreplaceable. You know, I think that they have other guys that could potentially fill that role, but you know, clearly he is a major void to fill in that offense. But the bigger impact for me is the off the field, the fact that, you know, he was essentially handpicked as a true freshman to be one of the faces of the program, and a guy that, you know, Nebraska was putting out there as, you know, one of the showcase players, you know, on the recruiting front, and, you know, was really going to be kind of the foundation of what they were building around. So with him out of the picture now, it all leads to all these natural questions of, you know, if a guy like that's going to leave, what's really going on behind the scenes? Mm-hmm. So that is probably the bigger issue for me. It's just his role within the program in the locker room, and then not having him having a guy like that decide to take his talents elsewhere, you know, that's notable. And Farniak was not a surprise at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody expected him to move on. So, you know, nothing really earth-shattering there. But definitely between the receiver movement, that was a lot of news.
Yeah, I think Farniak would have complicated some things if he would have said I'm coming back, because I think they already have candidates to replace him. Not all transfers are created equal. I mean, some guys are knuckleheads. You got to get out of the program, and it's just not the right fit, and so they move on. Then you have Wandale Robinson from yesterday, but you also have a growing trend at a position where it seems to be a revolving door, that guys don't stick around very long. Any reason you can put your finger on why that's the case at that particular position?
Well, I think you have to look at usage, for one. young guys, it's been, for whatever reason, very hard for them to get on the field and play meaningful snaps. And you know, whose fault is that? I'm not 100% sure. You know, if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing in practice, how can you justify playing them? But at the same time, if you know those guys came here to put up a ton of yards, catch a bunch of passes, and you know, be showcased in a high-flying offense, well, that has hardly been the situation here over the last 3 years. And so I think it's a product of you know, guys not having the roles on game day that they expected when they committed here. The fact that Nebraska is not winning, and then, you know, I think just the fact that Nebraska's offense has been so stuck in neutral over the last few years, that, you know, if these guys have their eyes on the prize of going to the NFL, and with what Nebraska's passing game has been, they're not going to get anywhere close to getting the type of numbers that they feel they need. And so that's probably the biggest issue of anything. It's just the fact that Nebraska's passing game has been so bad that and guys aren't getting a chance to play, you know, they're going to realize that, you know, for me to be the type of player, and make myself the type of NFL prospect and have the career that I want to have, I probably have to do it somewhere else, because it's just not happening here in Nebraska.
Let's go through a yay or nay of decisions that are still to be made. Yay, they're coming back. Nay, they're moving on. Dedrick Mills.
Nay. I think that's probably going to come out relatively soon. From what we've heard, he's still at the training facility right now, like just working out, preparing for the NFL draft. So I think that's basically inevitable that he will move on.
Deontay Williams.
Yay. I do think he comes back, and he could potentially be like a 26, 27-year-old senior by the time all is said and done. But, yeah, I think right now it's turning towards him coming back.
Nice home he's got in Lincoln, a nice portfolio and a family. Markell Dismuke.
Right now I'm leaning towards yay. I think he's probably a little more of a question than Deontay, but right now if I had to guess, I think he's leaning towards coming back.
Will Honus.
Yes, he's coming back.
Wow. Ben Stille.
He's probably the biggest question right now, but right now, if I had to guess, I'm going to say yes, he's coming back.
That's going four for five in that stretch. That leads me to believe that the defense is the most stable position, the side of the ball, coming into this year. But how many jobs would be open? I mean, what, are you looking at only a couple of jobs that realistically are open on the defense for 21?
Yeah, I mean, you got, I guess, one of the inside linebacker spots, probably, obviously, one of the cornerback spots. And then after that, you know, that if all those guys do, in fact, come back, I mean, that gives Nebraska as much returning stability and experience on the defensive side of the ball as they've probably had in a long, long time.
Do you think that changes the narrative on Nebraska going into 21? Because this program is, you know, it's all talks about offense. Well, if the defense makes the next step and they're a 4-5 best team in the Big Ten defensively with all of the experience they have returning, I think the mood changes, of course, because you might win some football games that you don't expect to win. But also, this program now is being led by the defense, which is a complete change from what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely kind of pushes the fact that, you know, Nebraska's identity maybe should be continuously evolving offensively, to where, you know, I see the defense being good enough to not only not lose games, but potentially win games next season, especially if all those guys do come back. But it doesn't matter how good they are if they're constantly being put in bad situations by their offense, and the offense isn't scoring points, and they're giving up, you know, bad field position and quick three and outs, and, you know, basically making the defense have to play with their backs against the walls for an entire game. So until the offense takes off or discovers or figures out what it wants to be and what it ultimately will be, you know, the defense is only going to take them so far. I think if things hold on the offensive side of the ball, even if the defense is greatly improved, I think you're going to get similar results to what we've seen in the fact that Nebraska will be close, but they won't have enough firepower to win in the end, and they're going to have another losing season. So I think their odds of winning are significantly better, obviously, with the defense being being what it potentially could be next season. But for me, the biggest issue is, can the offense, you know, either find a way to play along with its defense and maybe become a more of a power-oriented offense that, you know, controls the clock more and tries to play win lower scoring games, or they take that next step in the, you know, what they've been trying to build since day one and start putting up some points. Unless one of those two things happens, that to me, it doesn't matter how good the defense gets. Nebraska will continue to be stuck where they are.
Man, maybe you see an offense that actually huddles up and slows things down.
Yeah.
Let's talk some basketball. You get the feeling that the next time Nebraska plays will be a week from tomorrow against Minnesota?
That's how it's looking right now. Obviously, they haven't said anything about the Maryland game on Saturday, but, you know, right now, given the fact that Nebraska had to shut down, to think that suddenly they're going to, you know, make improvements with their positive tests by Friday, because that's an 11 a.m. tip right now for Maryland, so they'd have to leave Friday and, you know, do a cross-country flight and, you know, go stay in a hotel. I mean, that doesn't seem realistic to me. You know, I think it's obviously multiple Tier 1 positives for them to force a shutdown. And that kind of leads you to believe that this is a more than just one or two guys. So right now I would probably say the more realistic scenario is Nebraska returns the action next Wednesday against Minnesota, and that Maryland game joins the Purdue, and now Illinois has postponed games that need to be made up later on in the year.
Yeah, and it's almost, I think you look around other conferences, you're into the middle of January. You might run out of time, space. You know, some of the arenas that are multi-purpose now that the NHL and the NBA are going on, that could be kind of tricky. But I think you're probably looking at a week when you pause, and Minnesota would be next up. So let's go back to the last two games. So on the heels of what happened against Ohio State, Nebraska gets to the Final Four against Michigan State. The Final 4 minutes, they rally to get to the Final Four to make it competitive against Indiana, but both results are, one you lose by 7, the other you lose by 8. How close is Nebraska to you think, Robin, being consistent enough that they can pull these games out?
You know, I think that they're getting closer every game, especially with the way that they responded from that Ohio State game. That the season could have taken a very, very bad turn for the worse after what happened in Columbus, and for them to respond the way they did against Michigan State and, you know, show the resilience to, you know, come back from 18 and reclaim the lead against Indiana. That shows that, you know, this team still has fight and resolve, and that's probably the most important thing to have in Nebraska's current situation, in a point where it'd be pretty easy to give up and, you know, basically just cash it in. You know, they're still working to try to get better. And I think that the addition of Derek Walker, you know, I don't want to like overstate him as like this program changing guy, but he makes them a much better team. And you saw flashes of just the difference he made when he was on the floor in his first game in almost 2 years. And so as he continues to get his legs back under him and, you know, assimilate into the rest of that lineup on the floor in games, I think you start to see Nebraska start to take some steps forward. You know, he just gives them, you know, a lot in terms of, you know, an offensive post player, but also his leadership and having him actually on the floor, I think, is a really big deal. So when they're in those tight situations late in games, you know, he's not just a cheerleader that's, you know, in street clothes trying to fire guys up. He's actually out there that can back up his talk with his actions. And so I think his impact is going to get bigger and bigger the more that he becomes a part of this team. And probably the most frustrating thing about, you know, that Illinois game getting postponed is, you know, regardless of the degree of difficulty playing maybe the best team in the Big Ten, you know, it'd be another game for Derek to play with these guys and these guys to learn how to kind of work around this new addition to their lineup. And, you know, I think that the more games they get under their belt as a relatively complete group, the better and better they're going to get, even if it's going to take a little bit more time probably to, you know, start for that to show up on the scoreboard. But I think that they're close, certainly closer than they were against Ohio State. And the more games they get to play together, the closer they're going to get.
Well, he was, he kind of exceeded my expectations. I didn't have huge expectations for a guy that hadn't played in a long, long time, but I thought it was above what we thought he would do. And I think he showed you something where this offense, maybe that's another element. In the pick and roll, as hard as he rolls, I think he gives himself an option. I think he makes himself available for the basketball. I'm really encouraged by the limited minutes that I saw out of him. And you know, and now you think, how long will it take him to get into basketball shape, game shape, what that also will do to his game. I was impressed. That's going to be a nice addition for Nebraska for the rest of this year and beyond.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, that pick and roll action. I mean, when was the last time Nebraska had a big man that was, coordinated enough to actually, catch the ball driving to the rim off the roll action, physical enough to go up against Big Ten bodies in the post, and skilled enough to actually make the basket at the rim? He kind of brings three different elements to that Nebraska hasn't had in a long time. And, you know, that action has been open all year. They just haven't had anybody that could execute it as the role man. So I think that's a huge addition, especially with an offense that needs all the help it can get in the half court.
Get chatter on this great game of the Big Ten tonight at Chrysler Arena in Ann Arbor, Wisconsin and Michigan. As of right now, in your personal power rankings of the Big Ten on January 12th, who's the best team in the Big Ten?
I think Iowa is the best team. I think they have the best player in Luka Garza. And when, the Wieskamps and Bohannons are playing at the level they're currently playing at, I just don't see anybody that can keep up with them. Illinois is probably the most talented team, in my opinion. I think they have the best players. But I think that Iowa's level of talent and the way that talent plays together makes them the best team, not only in the Big Ten, but one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, I think you look at they lost to Gonzaga. They're their big three, and then you throw in a couple other elements. I love Iowa. Are we in agreement that nobody's challenging Garza for the Big Ten Player of the Year?
Not right now. I mean, I'm sure there's guys that could potentially make a case, but he's the reigning title there, and he's done nothing to slow that down at all this year.
Robin, I appreciate it. I know it'll be a busy rest of the week, and you guys at Husker Online will be on top of it. I appreciate the time.
Yep, no problem. Thanks for having me.
That's Robin Washit from Husker Online. You can follow him on Twitter at Robin Washit. Michigan, Wisconsin tonight. The Badgers on the road against the Wolverines, who I think are Final Four worthy as well. It'll be tough to knock off Gonzaga, but I mean, about time the Big Ten wins a national championship. Michigan, Iowa are the two most likely teams. 119. Tom Chattel is going to join us next. I'm sure he's got a thought or two. He wrote about Wandale Robinson and other things today in the World Herald. We'll check in with Tom after this on 1620 The Zone.